and take our communion today, as usual. You will not regret being part of this worship today in the name of Jesus. I pick my text from Romans chapter 6. Can we stand up to pick that text? Tell your neighbor, listen, pastor wants to prophesy. Are you afraid of your neighbor? Say, listen, pastor wants to prophesy. Shall I prophesy? Amen. My text is from Romans chapter 6 and verse 14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Again.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
And may the Lord bless this exhortation in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated and give me a few minutes before we close. And I title this exhortation, The Power Over Sin. The power over sin. When it says sin shall not have dominion over you, it's referring to two categories of sin. And it's important that we stress this exhortation. Not that there is anything I'm saying that is new, but we continue to remind ourselves about what the scriptures expects of us, what the Spirit of God expects of us. Like I said, we come here with a lot of hangovers from our denominations. You come here, we have to teach you even how to pray. We teach you what, even how to worship. What is the meaning of worship? There are many things we have to teach you. You come here, the most basic rudiments of the Christian faith, many of us don't even know it. Imagine somebody in a church for 4 years and has not been baptized. So what is the gospel preached in such a setting? When that same gospel that we are preaching is supposed to be the same gospel Peter preached on the same day, 3,000 were baptized. It's so important when you come here, we just discover we have a lot of work to do. We are still teaching brethren how to dress as Christians. How to relate. People don't even know the meaning of brotherly love. It's difficult for somebody to understand that the blood that binds you and me is better, stronger than the blood that binds me and my blood, Elijah. When I call you Sister Ngozi, it must go with a revelation, which not too many Christians know it. Until you relate with someone only because it's your church member. And people still come to a church like this, and you see they want to clan themselves, class. Before you know what, they are in class. We belong to this class. We are the ones that are holding this church. We are the financial stakeholders. It exists in this church. Until people believe, don't even know what is holiness. People don't even know what the communion is all about. If you know it, you will never miss communion service. You will never miss communion service. When we say come for communion service, we don't have the type of number we have if we say bring padlock for deliverance. It is a function of revelation. Can't you see? Despite how we have taught people how to pray. Pray. Tell the Lord what you want him to do for you this week. Father, bless me. Now, financial blessing, they want to. And he's asking the supreme deity of all deities, the king of kings, the creator of the whole universe. He's asking him for a favor, for a blessing. This week. Who are you talking to? It's because you are from Mountain of Fire. They told him, Abba, are you talking to Baal or the God of Israel? You don't know there is a difference between kneeling down to pray God to show humility or bowing down your head or standing in holy reverence before God in asking him something to do. That is different from anybody who say, I'm not going to marry this year. That one, you can do any demonstration you want. But when you say you want to ask God to do for you, I don't talk, I'm tired, they repeat, make I talk with you, I want to talk today. But I'm only telling you how when we you come to this church, from what we see, we, the teachers, we know we have a lot of work to reformat your Christian faith. I'm talking to the bride of Christ all over the world. And so when we come to the power over sin, there are two sins referred to, categories of sin. The Adamic sin. There is a power that removed the guilt. That sin is the guilt imputed on us by Adam. Romans 5 verse 12.
Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
And that necessitated verse 17.
For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
And that is there you understand John 1:29. John saw him, and what did he say? Read it. The next day.
John said Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
That is why. And who is the one? Who is that Lamb of God?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
And that sin is the Adamic sin. The pardon that he purchased for us. That's the freedom spoken of in John 8:36.
If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free.
Free from the Adamic sin and the consequence of that sin. The second category of sin referred to, where it says sin shall not have dominion over you, is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. That was what he was manifested for.
And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
Now, take note.
And in him.
Wait first. Listen here. We are studying. Listen very well. What is John 1:29?
Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the
singular
world.
Singular. It's called sin. No S there. But in 1 John chapter 3 verse 5.
And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
Plural. And in him is no singular sin. What are these sins? The sins, when he said he was manifested to take away our sins, what he's saying there is that he is given the task of making us free from sin. Taking away our sin, walking on our sin nature. He, Jesus, is given that task. He is to deal with our carnal nature, otherwise known as the works of the flesh. By the time he finished with you, these are the areas of focus. The carnal man, Galatians chapter 5, the flesh. Verse 19 and 20:21.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like.
Now, these are the sins. He is manifested to take away from us. These are the sins, the works of the flesh. He is given the task. That is his ministry. That is the reason he was manifested, to take all this away from us. Now, listen very well. Some of the hangovers from different churches we come from, listening to different preachers. Give us the wrong impression that when you fast very well, you will not commit sin. Can I tell you something? Fasting does not stop you from committing sin. You will stop committing sin only during the period of the fast. As soon as you finish the fasting, the flesh takes over. Therefore, fasting has no power over sin. But fasting only allows the power over sin to work on you. You will get to know it as we go on. If you pray very well, pray very well, pray, 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 pray. Prayer does not make you holy. Prayer only positions you for the power over sin to work on you. Because even prayer, the Bible says you can pray amiss. You can pray amiss. Hey! I don't know, I'm beginning to feel in the flesh. I'm beginning. Receive fire! Fire! Woo! You fall down. Anointing does not make you holy. The gift you operate does not make you holy. If not, Samson will have been the most holy human being on earth. Who are those messing up the Christian faith the most today? They are the so-called anointed apostles. Anointed pastors. Anointed prophets. They are the ones messing it up. Even water baptism does not make you holy. I see people who come. I don't know. Pastor, I want to go back to water baptism. The fact that you baptized before and you still see the need to go again lets you know that water baptism does not make you holy. Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 18, he made a statement there.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Is this 2 Peter?
Chapter 3.
Okay, go ahead. Verse 18.
1 Peter 3:18.
Yes.
For Christ also has once suffered.
1 Peter chapter 3, sorry.
For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust.
Listen very well.
That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison.
Yes.
We sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by
water.
They
were saved by what?
Water.
By water. Listen very well.
The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us.
Not what?
Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh.
If water baptism does not put away the filth, your carnality.
But the answer
it
of
is
a good
only
conscience
the
towards
answer
God.
Of a good conscience towards God. It positions you for God to use the power over that flesh and clean us up. So where is the power over sin? The power over sin begins from a knowledge. It begins from a knowledge. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock, Jesus commended Peter. The knowledge of who I am. Who am I? I am the one. Hallelujah. That came to take away the guilt of the sin that is imputed to you, Peter. You need to know that. That I am manifested to take away what separates you from God. Filthiness. Our lifestyle. No man has the power to do it. Only me have the power. That song says, how did he put it? To change the leper's spot.
But now, indeed, I find thy power and thine alone
can change. He said, thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spot. Hallelujah. Can a leper's spot be changed? He was born with it. Different patches all over. He was born with it. We came to this world speaking lies. When we are born with sin nature. But only God has the power to remove that nature. And that is why Christ was manifested. When you come to Christ, when you say, I am a Christian, now you are getting to know the meaning. Hallelujah. That is why, except you catch this knowledge, you will never know how to walk with God acceptably. When the Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, what did he say is the conclusion of the whole matter? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think it's verse 12.
Verse 13.
Let us
hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
What is the conclusion of the whole meaning of existence?
Fear God.
What are you to do?
Fear God.
What are we to do?
Fear God.
And do what?
And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty.
This is the whole duty of man. Church, you cannot fear who you don't know. You cannot fear what you don't know. And what you know, is, if it is the letter, like reading newspaper and all this, it will have no effect in you. That's why I've told you this several times, and that is the truth, and that is my prayer. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. I say, I don't want to fear God because of hell. I don't want him to throw me to hell. Let God not make me fear him through punishment, that he will punish me. If I commit any offense, then he will deal with me. Then I will fear him. No. But I tell God, let me fear you by granting me revelation of who you are. Amen. Who you are. Apostle Paul says, that I may know you. I don't want to know God by anointing that fall upon me. I will take him for granted. That's why many anointed servants of God are very proud. But only the knowledge of God will keep you humble. Anointing without knowledge will produce pride. And you see it all around the Christian fold. Once they have a grace other people don't have, they demand, command, worship, directly or indirectly. And the element of pride is everywhere, everywhere. They have special microphone. They have special seat. They don't even touch Bible. Somebody has to be carrying Bible. You know where they got that from? It's from the Pope of Rome. Does he hold Bible? Somebody hold it for him to read. Pride. It is the spirit of pride that produced all those unscriptural titles. Reverend. Reverend Mrs. Reverend Doctor. The title that Bible gives is not enough. They must have their own. Chief Apostle. Senior Apostle. You are not enough that you are a prophet. You must be senior prophet. And you see somebody like that man, Ubel, also. He said he is, they are the, there's a language used. The latest one I heard him say, he's the major stakeholder in the prophetic. And that's why they have sons of the prophet. Oh. You greet pastor, you kneel down, you lie down. These are these little things we try to fight in this ministry, and people don't know. That spirit must not come here, must not enter this church. Never, never, never. They were battling, no, this is not your microphone, this is not your microphone. I said, no. The setting is what I like. This one is well set today. They were saying, no, use your microphone. Use your microphone. If you put something for that microphone, not catch me today. So hold another one. They say, because the microphone is not fine. It break for under. If it break for under, I should not use the one that is broken under. Another person can use it, but me, pastor, should not use it. It's pride. If it's not good for me, then why is it good for others? Then we sit down on sofa chairs, comfortable chairs. Then the congregation are sitting down on wood. Very, very uncomfortable. Very soon we shall change all these chairs. Don't worry. We are getting there. Somebody said, the Lord, they say I should change the chairs on the high table. I said, God can't tell you what I reject. It's nothing like that. I said, thank you. Give us the money. We'll use the money and buy something else in the church. The same seat you sit down. It's the same seat ministers will sit down here. Nothing there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's wrong. They are hearing me now. It's pride. Nothing more. It's pride. Nothing more. It is because you don't know him. With all that Apostle Paul knew, God knew that he was a human being. He needed to humble him. What did he do to Paul? He made sure he left an infirmity in his eye. What did he say? That is,
my grace is sufficient.
That is strength. God's strength. God's strength, power, is made perfect in weakness. People don't know that. If you want God to blow you up, be humble. But knowing how human beings are, he decided to leave. Ordinary handkerchief, it will heal the sick. But see your own eye. You don't fit to see. You don't fit to write. It's a ball. That's why they pay you every time. You sought the Lord. And if he said he sought the Lord, he must have fasted and cried and cried. He said three different times. And God said, shut up. My grace is sufficient for you. But Apostle Paul knew why. So that he will not be rated above measure. Above what God has taken him to. That is the reason God left that. He called it the Satan. He says that thing is a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. It is God's own way of humbling. Every true servant of God, if you are a true servant of God, there is something he will do around you to keep you humble if there is a tendency for you to be proud. That is why Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, prayed that prayer, that I may know you, that I may know you. Therefore, if, because not too many people know the power of his resurrection, that I may know you. Let's read it. And to know also, to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We are to conform to his death because our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says so. That is our destiny. That's our destiny. So this knowledge is so important that in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what did he say?
Get wisdom. Get understanding.
What did he say?
Get wisdom.
What did he say?
Get wisdom.
Which wisdom? Before we continue. It is the wisdom in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, 16 and 17. That is the wisdom we are to get.
And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation.
Make you wise, that we give you wisdom unto salvation. It is wisdom unto salvation.
Through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
The faith that is in Christ Jesus.
All scripture is given by inspiration
that
of God.
That is where you get that wisdom. And in the scripture.
And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
And if you go back to our scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, that is where he said, get wisdom.
Get wisdom. Get understanding.
Get understanding.
Forget it not.
Neither don't forget understanding. Don't look down on understanding.
Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting.
With all your getting.
Get understanding.
Get understanding. What will it do to you?
Exalt her, and she shall promote thee.
If you concentrate, if you give importance to understanding the process of salvation, it will it will promote you.
She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory.
Is that not what will await all of us when we go there? Understanding. Revelation. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by revelation, by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. Anything you see, let it go. Accept it through revelation. Pass it through revelation. Your understanding. Judge it by your understanding. That's why he said, prove all things. Prove. Hold fast unto that which is good. Prove it. How will you prove? When you don't have understanding, when you don't have knowledge. I was reading something and all these funny things on YouTube. Like, hey, you don't need electricity anymore. You don't need this anymore. Just put something and let it be to the ground, touch the ground, and then it will begin to roll. It will begin to roll. Now, physicists, scientists, immediately went to the comment box. Using the knowledge of science, they debunked it and said it's not possible. Stop deceiving people. Knowledge. Knowledge. That's why we say anybody preaching, we listen with a knowledge on the background to know where you are going. Because we know the bad road, we know the good road. We know there are origins, we know the mixed multitude in the church. When he said, by their fruit we shall know them. So study to know the fruit of the Holy Ghost and the fruit of Satan. So that we are not carried away by what we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the just, Apostle Paul put it this way, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, what did he say?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
It is the power, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power that God is using for our salvation. Read on.
To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God, how to walk with God, is in the gospel, and it is revealed from what?
Faith to faith.
It's from revelation to revelation. Faith is from revelation to revelation.
As it is written.
When you are justified, how will you live?
The just shall
by revelation.
Faith.
Revelation is the knowledge that comes through the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing the word. It is when you hear the word that you receive understanding. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 4. Concerning the two offerings of Cain and Abel, one was accepted, one was rejected. Why? Why?
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
And by faith, there is by revelation. There is something Abel knew that Cain didn't know, yet they were worshiping the same God. It's knowledge. Amen. I want to call your attention to something. Going to live on a mountain does not make you holy. There are people, some few years ago, they were trying to be taking attention of people to the mountain. And it caught my attention. I said, what is happening in this church? This hangover must be dealt with. If a mountain is a place consecrated for prayer, we have a place here we have consecrated for prayer. Why will you prefer going to the mountain? Well, you also have a consecrated place here, dedicated for prayers. When God warned me that this place must not be desecrated for any reason, he said his presence is here. So that you'll understand why we give so much attention to happenings when you are inside here. Then they will be taking people to the mountain. Mountain. We used to go to the mountain, until I found out, because I'm not a follow. So I went there, I didn't see the effect of the mountain. On the mountain, there is distraction. I soon found out that if I truly want to be in the spirit of prayer, I withdraw. Only me. If I have to pray with you, then why do I have to go to the mountain? We'll go find somewhere, we'll go stay, me and you, they pray now. The impression that when you go to the mountain, there is a special grace anointed on the mountain is false. I repeat, it's false. In fact, it's lazy people that go there. If you go there, there are people that are there for the past 1 month, 2 months. Lazy people. The Lord said, I should go and wait for him on the mountain. Because that is where you meet him, Abby. For your information, he told the woman at Samaria And now you neither worship in any mountain, nor in any mountain. Where is God seeking for where you should worship?
In spirit and in truth.
The acceptable place of worship is where he has placed his name there. And he has not placed his name in any mountain or any building. Place his name in a human being, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Important that you catch what I'm telling you about, so that you will take your Christian faith in the right direction. Don't take God for granted. Eternal security. I am saved, forever saved. Once saved, forever saved. All those who speak like that and boast in it, they are not saved yet. I am saved, forever saved. They are trying to use that as excuse to justify their carnality. Whatever you do, I will not go to hell. We teach it so that people will know how to walk with God. But you don't justify your carnal nature by a security you have, a security you think you have. People who are secured, eternally secured, they are known by their fruits. It's not by what you say. It's the life that you live. That's what confirms it. When Apostle Paul said, he would think he stand, take it, lest he fall. Then you'll understand. Esau, firstborn, he didn't know the meaning of firstborn. He just thought everything belonged to me. He didn't know. And then he played one joke out just because of hunger. And he lost it forever. Lost it forever. And that is how it is with carnal and the spiritual believers, even in the church today. Understanding. You can never rise above what you know. Your Christian faith is determined by what you know. Amen. And that is why two sisters may be sitting in a church like Brother Assembly, where we spoke about sisters don't wear trouser. Some will understand the reason why you don't wear that trouser, and they will not wear it. But some will not wear it because it is a commandment. They see it as a commandment of Brother Assembly Church. So immediately they leave. I'm no more in Brother Assembly now. Now I'm now in Christ Embassy. And I wear my trouser. It's a function of understanding. It's so important that your conversion begins from an understanding. And so a parable in Matthew chapter 13 from verse 9. Let's read something very interesting there. A statement there I want us to note.
Who has ears?
After he spoke the parable of the soils, he said, who has ears to hear?
Let him hear.
Because am I not talking about people hearing me? And one is thinking it's a commandment of this church. While the other one catches a revelation that is true. I am a woman. Why will I be dressing like a man? It's a revelation. While we are saying Christian women cannot wear earrings, another one is looking at this as a commandment of deeper life, a commandment of Brother Assembly. While another one is seeing that the history of earring stems from Israel, stems from a law God himself gave to identify slaves that refuse freedom in Exodus 21. But I'm now free. So why will I be wearing earring? And secondly, why somebody is thinking it's a commandment here, another sister is looking at it. But what makes me a woman is not the earring I wear. That's not what identifies me as a woman. So why do I wear that earring? And there are social laws that are still binding now. It's in the Bible that you should not put any mark on your skin. Tattoo. But they are here thinking that it is the law of Brother Assembly. So when they go to Abel Damina's church, they will go and then submit their skin for tattoo because he said it doesn't matter. It's a function of revelation. Amen. There are millionaires sitting among you, sisters. I know them, multi-millionaires. They are sitting down. They are not wearing a ring. They are not wearing jewelry. So don't think it is for poor people. The richest woman in Nigeria is Alakija. She's the richest woman in Nigeria, multi-billionaire. I saw it. They asked her, why don't you wear jewelry? Don't wear earring. You don't. She said the Holy Spirit appeared to her and told her she should not put on those things. So it's not because you are poor, that's why we dress the way we dress. A billionaire, but God told her, don't wear it. So that she will be a judgment against others. She's not going about preaching it to anybody, but she has obeyed what she has now known. Praise the Lord. So read that parable again. He who has ear to hear.
Who hath ears to hear?
Matthew 13, yes.
Let him hear.
Yes.
And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?
Why are you always preaching in parables? Why is the book of Revelation in symbols? Why is the book of Genesis, the first six chapters in parable? The first three chapters in parables. Why parable, parable, parable?
He answered and said unto them.
What did he say?
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
Go on.
Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing
they see, they see not. That is, they look, but they see not.
And hearing, they hear not.
They hear gospel, but they don't understand.
Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah.
That is what was fulfilling. Isaiah chapter 6, this prophecy went forth. What is it? Read on, continue.
We said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand.
Hearing you will hear and shall not understand.
And seeing ye shall see.
You will see all the miracles that are taking place.
And shall not perceive.
You will not perceive them.
For these people's heart is waxed.
This is the reason.
And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see
they
with their eyes.
They are closed. This is the effect. Lest at any time
they should see with their
they
eyes.
They should see with their eyes.
And hear with their ears.
Hear with their ears.
And they should understand,
and should
with, their
understand with their heart.
And should be converted.
And should be converted. And I should heal them. That is, conversion will come only from understanding. God, since this is what they want, he decided to close them. They will read, or they will never understand. They will see anointing, or they will never understand why they are anointing. They will receive visitations, but they will never understand. They will go to Bible school, Bible colleges, but they will never understand. The reason is because in understanding, they will now be converted. But they should not be converted so that he will deal with them. That is the spirit of delusion. May it never catch you in the name of Jesus. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. That is the reason. Understanding means so much. That's why he spoke and let us know the different soils in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Different soils. That is why he wanted different soils. In that parable of the sower, what did the sower sow?
The sower soweth the word.
The word?
And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts.
So if the word is taken away from your heart, you return to sender now. It has not benefited you. They are the ones. Amen. Satan is interested in taking the word away. Because he knows it is only through the word we will get converted. Go on, the next soil.
And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard
the different types of heart is describing here.
Immediately receive it with gladness.
Hey, they will even run to the altar and give their life to Christ. And they say they will drop a ring. They will go for water baptism. They will drop wearing trousers. They will drop fornication. They will even break relationship. Hey, I'm holy now. I have decided to follow Jesus. Read on.
And this, and who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves.
But they have no root.
And so endure but for a time.
They will only endure for a while.
Afterward,
affliction must come.
When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake.
Immediately you receive the word, all hell will be loose on you if it is the true word you have received.
Immediately.
Not this, it doesn't matter what though. Okay. What will happen to them?
Immediately they are offended.
What happens?
And these are they which are sown among thorns.
They are offended. That is, they go back to where they came from.
And these are they which are sown among thorns. Such as hear the word. And the cares of this world.
What to eat, what to chop.
And the deceitfulness of riches.
The deceitfulness of riches. Thinking that if you become a millionaire, there will be something that will be added to you. And all the promises, they deceive you, that go with the riches.
And the lust of other things entering
including
in.
Now I have money, let me enter politics.
Choke the word. And it becometh unfruitful.
Now, have you not seen it? They come, once they are blessed, to come for fellowship, they have no time to even come for fellowship because of business. Your container now on Sunday, then they offload. And then you justify yourself. I don't come to church on Sunday. They delivered my 30 containers, so there's a lot of a job. I will not be able to come for family deliverance. You know, I will not be able to come for Holy Ghost baptism. It's okay. I will join you online, even though Nigeria shall leave. Read it again.
And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful.
You become unfruitful. And every unfruitful tree, like the fig tree, what will happen?
Shall be cast into the fire.
You are hewn down, cast into the fire. You're on your way to hellfire, be that. Go on.
And these are they which are sown on good ground.
Good ground.
Such as hear the word.
But they hear the word.
And receive it. And bring forth fruit.
Yeah, evidence that you have received the word. Knowledge. Evidence you have knowledge. There will be the fruit of that knowledge. The response, your attitude towards the Christian faith is reflected by, it's a reflection of the knowledge that you have. That you have to, somebody have to teach you to make God first in your agenda. He said, acknowledge me in all thy ways. Somebody have to teach you that. For he's the one that giveth thee power to make wealth. They give you power to make wealth. Then you don't remember him. I was sharing with a niece of mine that, there are people that use people and dump them. Train you for 4 years. Your father rejected you. Three of you, two boys, one girl. I said, no, this one is more vulnerable. Let me pick the girl. Train her university. Finish everything. I know what I spent on that girl. That as soon as she finished her NYC and got a job, you don't remember me again. I'm not sure for the past 4 years or 5 years now, she has ever called me to say, Daddy, how are you? And it's a perfect type of people who use God and dump him. It's a function of your knowledge of the God you serve. You don't know he can drop you overnight. There are a lot of crises we receive in life. That is God's own way of calling your attention to him like he did to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you think it is by your power you got all that kingdom? I will let you know where you got the power from. The Lord give it and the Lord take it. People don't don't know the God we serve, may you know him in the name of Jesus Christ. Power, always remember, you are where you are today. It's by the mercy of God. It's a revelation. That is what keeps you humble. That is what keeps you humble. I know where I was before, and I know where I am today. I know where I come from, and I know where I am. And if you dare let it cross the bottom of your heart, that is because of any ability you have. That's why you have achieved what you have achieved in your education, in your business, in your ministry, in anything you have achieved, you are hanging on the balance where mercy will soon be removed from you. And you will know that without God, you can do nothing. Revelation. We need knowledge. We need knowledge. It will give you a crown of glory. It will bring honor to you. It will bring peace. Each time you let God know I am who I am is by your mercy. Not with mouth, but by the way you live your life. By the way you live your life. It's a revelation I caught. It's not today. I'm sharing what I know. I'm sharing what I know. The power over sin, therefore, is in the word of God. That power comes from the word of God. That's why I refer to it in Ephesians 3:20 as the power that worketh in us. That power that worketh in us that will make him to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That power that according to the power that worketh in us, that power comes from the word of God. Come from the word of God. You are born again. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 tells us how we are born again.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
There is the word of God is incorruptible. When you receive that word, that is what gives you a knowledge that produces the reaction in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When they heard the word, they were what?
Pricked in their hearts.
And what? And said what?
Men and brethren, what shall we do?
You see, it is the word they heard. If you didn't hear it, you can never be pricked in your heart. And then they began to ask, what must I do to be saved? Men and brethren, what shall we do? In the house of Cornelius, it was the word they received. While he was yet speaking, a power was released. Oh, praise the Lord. The reason is what Jesus Christ spoke in John chapter 6, verse 63 to 65. Listen to what Jesus spoke
there. It is the spirit that quickeneth.
It is the spirit that quickens, gives life.
The flesh profiteth nothing.
This flesh that we have here, your intellectualism, your ability, carnal ability, will not profit you anything in your walk with God.
The words that I speak
to you. The words that Jesus Christ speaks and all of us are speaking, if it is the word of God,
they are spirit and they
and
are life.
And they are life. They are spirit and they are life. What did he say?
But there are some of you that believe not.
Go ahead.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not.
They did not believe the words that he was speaking now.
And who should betray him? And he said, therefore said I unto you that
now listen to that statement.
Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
Except it is given, that is, unless you receive understanding that comes directly from God. And that comes through his word. And so in verse 44, you can now understand of that same John chapter 6.
No man can come to me.
No man can come for conversion to Christ.
Except the Father which has sent me draw him.
And how will he draw him? Verse 45.
As it is written in the prophets.
How is it done?
And they shall be all taught of
again.
God. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh
unto me. He's talking about revelation. Not the revelation from Bible school, school of theology and motivational speakers. Listen, the words that he speaks, they are spirit and they are life. I was hearing a testimony of somebody who said that he loved a particular apostle. This time I will not call your name. Let me try to be a gentleman now. Because I'm repeating somebody's testimony, whether it is true or false. I don't want to be the defender of that, but I heard it and I know it is true. I mean, it's a fact. It's a general fact that he loved that apostle the way he teaches. He loved everything. But he discovered that after he joined that church, he discovered that the propensity to commit sin increased. He found, it's a woman, she found herself committing sin and no condemnation. Lie, no condemnation. Her boyfriend within the church, no condemnation. But she was sincere enough to ask, how come I was not doing all this until I came here? Which word am I hearing? Any ministry you go and your life is not affected positively, that you become better and better in your spiritual life, in your walk with God, there is no life in what they are saying. How will you go to church and there is nothing? You hear a sermon and there is nothing for you to go home and meditate upon to improve your spiritual well-being. And that was one thing that I observed in the end time message. These followers of the ministry of William Branham, that largely many, at least those I have associated with, you go around them, they quote William Branham, but there is no life in what they are doing. The evidence, witchcraft, some of them are witches. How do I know? They teach their members hatred. If you leave that church, they will fight you to finish. No life. No life. Many of them have cut off association with me just because I disagree with them on a doctrine. Abba. 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 I communicated with you, Pastor David. And you sent me a message. And you told me how much you've heard about me, blah, blah, blah. You will want to be associated with me.
Yes, sir.
And I replied to you. I said, no, I was not looking for your association.
That's right, sir.
I said, no, you're a Christian brother. You're in problem. I don't know you. But how can anybody feel the Holy Ghost, see your condition and not help? I was not helping so that you will become my associate.
That's right, sir.
No. It's wrong. No life. No life in them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you now know how to identify a true preacher. You come to church and all you are seeing is demonstration of power, prophecy, prophecy, demonstration of power from morning till evening, after service. How has it affected you spiritually? How has it increased your relationship, better your relationship with God? That's why we keep screaming and they think that we are mad. We are mad, yes, we are making a difference. We are mad. We are mad. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, without holiness, no man. No man shall see the Lord. No man without the holiness. If you are living a useless life, and Jesus Christ, you see him every day. He sleep with you. He wake up with you. I can assure you, it is Satan disguising as an angel of light. It's not the Lord Jesus. So that you tread carefully. If you are living a useless life, there is a man that a married sister forwarded your text messages to me. Church member, you are chasing a married woman inside church here. The day her husband will catch you, that's the day you will understand Bible. She forwarded all your text messages to me. That itself is fulfilling scripture. Did you say wheat and tares are in the same church? And you want church married woman? You know church in your street, inside church. Now they come. So that is where you left. Everybody come into this church, they travel. You enter motor before you come here. Nobody they try to come here. So you enter motor, where they go? I'm going to church to chase married women. And maybe he's even married. If you see, and they are so eloquent. If you see some of the text, Kai, single brother, you cannot construct that type of strength to get the attention of even a single sister. This one, a married woman. You are a devil. You don't know it. A devil. God will expose all of you that come here to spoil our testimonies. They don't set trap for you. This is mercy. I just want to show you mercy. Brother, they have set a trap. Oh. They have set a trap. They cannot catch you. Go find another place. Oh. No call here. Oh. The husband don't set a trap for you. And the husband, not they play with your wife. Oh. Okay. Oh. If you commit manslaughter, we slaughter you. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. It's a demon that is working on you. May what I'm saying now, chase that demon out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Without holiness, no man, no woman shall see the Lord. If I say fasting will not make you see the Lord. Pray will not make you see the Lord. Anointing, water baptism will not make us holy. Then what exactly makes a Christian really holy? Another type of Christians we have today, impersonating holiness. William Brown called it sticking the feathers. You're a chicken, you go put the feathers of an eagle. Hypocrite Christians everywhere. Struggling Christians everywhere. That is our next focus. When next I have the opportunity to preach, can we stand up? Hymn number 69 is our prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth you have for me. It's a prayer. Everybody, let's pray that prayer. Let's pray. prayed that prayer.